Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to What's in Your Glass. I'm your host, Carmelo Anthony. Before we get going, let's first welcome, you know, today's guest. You know him as the president of USC. Please welcome to the show, Dana White. Cheers, Dana. Welcome to What's in Your
Glass.
What's
up, brother? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. On today's show, I'm drinking, it's called Flowers. I know you're not a big wine guy, but I know you got something else over there in your glass, but I guess I got a nice little flowers bottle. That was, you know, something light for this light day over here in L.A. where I'm at.
I'm doing whiskey. Hallerhead whiskey. it's whiskey and Coke.
Oh, okay. So you good then?
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Let's make a cheers. We'll do a cheers. Cheers, Dana, for sure.
To you, buddy. To your success. Congrats.
Likewise. I know you got some big news, so we want to talk about some of that stuff, but Let's get right into it. In 2021, you are synonymous with the UFC brand. What was it like starting the company?
It was challenging but fun. I mean, this is what I love to do. It's what I've always wanted to do. So me and my partner at the time, Lorenzo Fertitta, they own Station Casinos, which is like the fourth largest gaming company in the country. And we knew we always wanted to do something together in the fight business. And I was managing Chuck Liddell and found out that the UFC was in trouble and probably going to go out of business. So I called him up and said, hey, I think these guys are in trouble. I think we should buy it. And we did. So in 2001, we bought the UFC for $2 million.
For $2 million. We'll get to that for $2 million. So you became the president in what? Oh, 2001? After
yep.
After the owners?
Yeah, we bought it, yep.
So, you know, then the owners, they bought it for $2 million, or you guys bought it for $2
million. Yep.
In 2016, though, the company sold to who? That was IMG WME, if I'm correct.
Right, right?
For $4
billion. Right.
And that's with a B. That's not with an M. That's with a B.
That's with a B.
So how do you all manage to kind of just take it from where it was then to now?
A lot of hard work, a lot of grinding, a lot of believing, and investing. You know, we bought it for $2 million, and then you talk about $4 billion, which sounds great. But in between the $2 million and the $4 billion, we invested something like $44 million into it. And we didn't get a return until like 2006. So you had to believe that this was going to go in the right direction. And there was obviously a lot of scary moments leading up to that, but you know, we fought through it, believed in the sport, and you know, here we are today.
Well, you had to believe, which is key in kind of just UFC and just the mindset that you had, but the vision that you had. You know, was it hard getting people to understand and be on the same page as you were when it comes to the vision of the UFC when you first bought it, when you first purchased it?
So I always had this philosophy about fighting, right? That no matter what country you come from, no matter what color you are, no matter what language you speak, we're all human beings. Fighting's in our DNA. We get it and we like it. It doesn't need to be explained to us. Like, for instance, you know, in this country, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, all major, you know, three of the big major sports here, not as popular around the rest of the world as they are in the United States.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Now, if you look at like India and England, cricket is massive. Massive sport, cricket.
Major.
Hey, do you know who the greatest cricket player to ever live is?
No.
Because you don't give a shit. Because you didn't grow up playing it. You don't understand the rules. And you're never going to care ever. But if there's a massive fight on and it's coming from England or India or one of these places and it garnered that type of attention, you would watch it. Doesn't have to be explained to you. You understand fighting. So I always believe that if we could get this thing out to the masses, that it would work globally.
So it's, I mean, that's a, first of all, that's a hell of a point. You talk about cricket and the greatest cricket player ever. I only know that when I go, I only know who that is when I go to South Africa for vacation and they talk about it over there.
It's true.
So
and think about this. Think of some of the most famous athletes that have ever walked the face of the earth, right? They've always been fighters.
Right.
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is known everywhere around the world. Muhammad Ali, known around the world, right? Think about this. If you ask kids today, do you know who Bruce Lee is? Everybody fucking knows Bruce Lee. He died in 1973.
He was a fighter. Because
he's looked at as one of the toughest dudes to ever walk the face of the earth, and we as human beings are fascinated by that.
So today, speaking on fighting and fighters, today we're so used to seeing UFC fights, right? But it had to be the struggle. Like we talked about the beginning, how it was purchased and acquired, and then we talk about now, today. The in-between game, like I like to call it. It had to be a struggle for some time just to kind of get the states to allow to fight. What was that strategy behind making, UFC mainstream? Because now it's a premier sport. It is one of the top premier sports right now today.
Thank you. So when we bought it, this thing wasn't allowed on pay-per-view. Okay. Think about that. As a grown man, you couldn't have the option of buying this thing on pay. Porn was on pay-per-view. You could buy it, but UFC was not.
Right.
That's how bad it was when we bought it. And our goal was to get it on free television, and people thought we were crazy. But if you look at the marketing that the old owners did, it's the most brutal, bloody, violent sport in the world. Two men enter the cage, one man leaves, implying that somebody might die during the event and things like that, right? And just for the record, there's never been a death or serious injury in the history of the UFC.
That's major. Right? That's major. That's major.
Right?
That's major.
Think about that. 2 to 3 boxers die a year, and there's never been a death in the UFC. So one of the things that we wanted to do is we ran toward regulation. We wanted to be regulated by the athletic commissions because this is a real sport. These are real athletes and they should be looked at as such. Plus, this many people want to watch a freak show. This many people want to watch a real sport. So our goal was to get this thing sanctioned and obviously change the perception of what people thought the UFC was.
And do you feel like you guys have changed it, or you're changing it, or where does that stand?
100%, because obviously now, we're covered by every major outlet. I mean, we're on ESPN. We have a deal with Disney, okay? We weren't allowed on pay-per-view. Now we have a deal with Disney. So, I mean, it's completely night and day. Plus, if you look at all the generations over the last 20 years that have grown up, these kids that grew up with the UFC in their house, like you and I grew up with the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball in our house.
Right, correct. What are some of the challenges? Because we talked about, like you say, you on ESPN, you Disney, right? You pay-per-view now, and you wasn't that before. What are some of the challenges you face today, even though you've taken the sport to ESPN and have become, you became a real player in terms of like audience and viewership? Like what are some of the challenges today that you face?
Well, let's start with the pandemic. I mean, the challenges that we face now are doing live events in different parts of the world. Over the last 20 years, we've turned ourselves into a global brand. We literally have fighters from everywhere on earth. So taking this thing to other countries like we, you know, like we were 2 years ago, expanding into countries that we've never been to. That's the new challenge. The new challenge for us is how do we work around COVID and, you know, how do we figure this out where we can start filling arenas and not only other parts of the world, but in other parts of this country still. I mean, I can go to Florida, Texas, Las Vegas all day long. You know, how do we get back up into New York? How do we get back up into, you know, different parts of California and things like that? So right now, everybody's challenge is the same. COVID.
Yeah, nobody's beating COVID right now. So nobody's beating that. So focusing on the brand behind UFC, and as someone who is, I'm a very active on social. What specifically do you find valuable, right, from a marketing perspective?
Oh, I mean, there's never been a bigger, better, badder marketing tool than social media. Social media is, you know, when you think about this, when we first bought the UFC and started to build it, and I had a fight coming up, we used to have to buy commercial time on different networks. We used to have to buy the USA Today or the Las Vegas Review Journal and certain markets, other newspapers. We used to buy billboards, you know, and you're trying to target UFC fans, fight fans, people who want to watch fights. And you don't know if you're reaching them. You don't know, you know. Now with social media, I mean, what's the UFC social up to?
90 million?
90 million people on UFC social media. These are 90 million people that want to know exactly what's going on this Saturday night. You know, I have 15 million myself, and these are exactly who we want to talk to. There's never been a greater marketing tool. For all the negativity that's talked about social media, the negative impact it has on kids and people and, you know, all this shit, it is the greatest marketing tool ever invented in the history of mankind.
I agree with that. I don't think we would ever see anything like this again. It may be some other things that's happening in the works down the line, but yeah, as far as the social media and the impact that it's had on our world, I don't think we will see anything like that again. How does UFC use the social media, you know, strategically to grow the brand?
So in different ways, obviously we use it to let people know. Listen, if you got a good fight going on Saturday night, the entire battle is letting people know it's on Saturday night and what channel and how can they get it. So obviously those are the things that we target first and letting fans know who's fighting, why they should give a shit and where they can watch it. And other things that we do is we use it to build stars. You know, if we have a new up and coming fighter that we think has the potential to be great, you put together features about them, you show highlights of them. And listen, let's be honest. When you talk about social media content, whose content is better than ours? I mean, you know, we get a crazy head kick knockout or an unbelievable slam or, you know, all these things. I mean, it's perfect for social media.
And with you guys, it's. I think a lot of people love to see that. Like, we want to see that. You know, I want to see what UFC socials is posting. I want to see a knockout. I want to see a spin kick. I want to see something because that gets me excited for the next fight. And I think you guys do a hell of a job of just building. You know, you did a hell of a job of building the UFC brand. But on a per fight,
thank you.
On a per, you know, fight to fight basis, you guys do a hell of a job of just promoting and garnering those people that does follow you guys on social media. And even, you know, people who don't really follow you guys, like, you guys do a hell of a job of engaging with those people who are not as whether familiar with it or don't really want to like it, but they have to like it at the end of the day. And I take my hat off to you guys for doing that.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I always see your posts about, like, the fighters, in upcoming fights, right? How vital is it to the brand to be marketing the fighters? And not just the UFC brand, but just the individual fighters.
Yeah, no, it's huge. So what happens is, You use the brand to build new fighters, right? And then once you get them and they become stars, the brand plus the star equals success for everybody. So you got the UFC plus Chuck Liddell, the UFC plus Ronda Rousey, the UFC plus Conor McGregor, you know, and the list goes on and on. It just, it's a great synergy.
Can you look at a fighter and say he's a star?
I can look at a fighter and tell, you know, obviously his look, his appearance, his personality, how he interacts with people. But what's the most important thing in building a star is, can he fight?
Oh, facts.
Right? Can the guy fight? So if he can fight and he has any of those other attributes, it's a home run. It's like in basketball. You got this good-looking dude. He can speak well. He dresses great, everything. You fucking put him out in the court.
That shit don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you come across those often?
Yeah. So you know, basically, one of the things that I really stay focused on is the core of the business, which is finding talent. And I'm always trying to come up with new ways to find talent and fast track them into superstardom. I'm the bells and whistles guy. I do all the bells and whistles. And if you have the talent, I'll get you where you need to be. So, yeah, I'm always out looking for new talent.
So the key here is to have some fucking talent. You better have some talent before you come sit in front of Dana White. So
everybody watching and listening,
you better have some talent before you go sit in front of Dana White or sing your mixtape.
You're not even going to get the opportunity to get in front of me unless you have talent.
Speaking of ways to market the brand, you know, you currently host a series, Dana White Looking for a Fight, and in which you go on the road looking for the next UFC talent, which we were just talking about. What can you tell us about this experience and kind of just how it's influenced the brand?
You know, it's been fun. I came up with this concept because when you think about it, what we do is we go into whatever city it might be. Where do you live?
New York. I'm in LA now.
Okay. So we'd come into New York. We take in whatever the city has to offer, you know, restaurants, cool places to go, things to see. And then there's usually a local fight with local fighters fighting on the card. So we'll go check it out. And it's me, Matt Serra, and Dean Thomas. Dean Thomas and Matt Serra are retired fighters who are really, really good at seeing talent too. So, you know, the three of us go in. We have a blast together hanging out, whatever city it is, and then we go to the fights. And the show does incredibly well. I mean, we just put one up yesterday, and it did over 600,000 views in less than 24 hours. So shows like that, I have another show called Dana White's Contender Series, which is on ESPN.
Which is great, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's the fights that are on that show are unfucking believable. I could do that show every night of the week and love it, man. It's an incredible experience. So, listen, I love what I do, and there's nothing better than going out and looking for talent.
What have you learned most about the people in the sport, from this experience?
These people that participate in this sport are special. They're different than any other athlete on planet Earth. To train the way that they train, to do what they do, that's why there's so very few of them that actually do it. You have to be built differently than every other human being on Earth to be involved in this sport, and definitely to get into the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got to be built differently to fuck with UFC. I can tell you that. That shit is different. That's a different way of thinking. That's a different way of living. That's a different mindset that you have to have to do that. And to be successful
at it. You got that right.
Anybody can try to do it, but to be successful at it, you have to be built differently, you know, from a mental standpoint. One last thing before we switch it up. We got to talk about your social series called Fuck It Fridays, right? You could be seen trying crazy foods and shit. I love food. I'm a foodie. I don't think I could try some of the crazy shit that you be trying, though. What I caught the one where you had the mac and cheese ice cream.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from?
All right. So on social, I saw everybody when that came out, the mac and cheese ice cream, I saw it all over social media. So I was like, oh, we got to get that. That shit's hard to get your hands on. That stuff sold out like immediately. So we had to work to track that stuff down. And two of my favorite things, mac and cheese and ice cream. But I was like, I'm not too sure I'm going to like the two of them together. I don't think this is, and you can tell when I take the first taste, I'm expecting to hate it. I was blown away by how good it was. And what's funny is that show is one of the most popular things that I do on social media. And it's exactly what you just said. You're a foodie. At the end of the day, we all like food. We all like food, and we all, you know, are always looking for something cool and different to eat. And that's what the thing was based on. It was just me and my social media guy having fun trying to figure out something cool to do on Fridays.
What are some of the craziest things that you've tried?
Crazy and some of the best things. I'm a fried chicken freak.
Okay.
I fucking love fried chicken.
Okay.
Anywhere we go, if anybody talks shit and says there's good fried chicken in town, I'm on my way there to get the fried chicken, right? So we took two Krispy Kreme, you know, the Krispy Kreme donuts glazed?
Absolutely.
You know, the regular traditional Krispy Kreme. As the sandwich, that's the bread with the fried chicken in the middle.
But that's incredible. That's incredible. Like that's
it's incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's incredible.
That's different.
But to a lot of people, that it's crazy. They would never eat donuts with fried chicken.
The thought process of that donuts and fried chicken, when you it's similar to the mac and cheese and ice cream. Like you would never put those two together. But
exactly.
I can't vouch for the mac and cheese ice cream. I can vouch for the Krispy Kremes and the fried chicken.
Have you done that?
The Krispy Kreme and fried chicken. Yes, that's like chicken and waffles. That's very very similar.
Love you. Love you. Me too. I'm a chicken and waffle guy, man. Let me tell you what. Anytime we head south, I'm on my way to the Waffle House as soon as I get there.
I'm gonna have to send you a list. I think. It's some good fried chicken. So I'll make sure I get that to you ASAP.
I was just in Houston and went to Gus's.
Okay. So you hit the spot. You hit the spot in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Switching gears a bit. Let's dive into another project you got going on. You're a producer on a reality competition show, The Ultimate Surfer. Which is airing on ABC and premiered in August. How did you get involved with that project? I mean, you have the cook, you have the, you know, the fucking series, you have the Danny White Contender. Yeah, like you have all of these shows, but now you have The Ultimate Surfer. How did you get involved with this project?
So I've been a surf fan my whole life. I surfed when I was younger, and I've always loved the sport. And much like the UFC when we first started this, I always felt like surfing was a sport that didn't get the recognition that it deserves. Because I'll tell you something. You know who Kelly Slater is?
Absolutely.
Did you know he's the most decorated athlete of all time? Nobody has won more world championships than Kelly Slater has.
Mm-mm.
And if you talk to people, most people don't even know that. So that's how disrespected that sport is, I guess I'll say. And, it's always been... So I've been working on this show for like almost 10 years. And finally, because of the technology, now that they have these wave pools, you know, we were able to do this show and do it the right way. So, it aired this Monday and Tuesday. It did really well. And I'm hoping, you know, so for people who haven't seen it yet, it's The Ultimate Surfer. It's on ABC Mondays and Tuesdays. And the two episodes that just aired can be watched on Hulu.
There you have it. The ultimate Surfer. So for all you guys who think you don't like surfing, go check this out. You might change your mind. Go check that out. What is your goal though with this show and in terms of producing TV projects more broadly? Because right now you have a broad slate of just projects that you are producing. So what is your goal with this show?
So I feel like realistically, if we can get this show rolling the way that we have The Ultimate Fighter, you know, we can build some stars in surfing that bring people over that normally didn't watch surfing. You know, it's all about in any sport, building stars. You know, you heard all the shit talk that, oh no, what's going to happen to basketball when Michael Jordan leaves? And, you know, I hear that shit every week too. Oh no, what are you going to do when Chuck leaves? What are you going to do when Anderson Silva's gone? What are you going to do when Ronda's gone? You know, it's all the same thing. Surfing has really only had one big superstar. And even though he's a big superstar, most people like you who was a professional athlete didn't even know that this guy's the most decorated athlete of all time. So my goal with the Ultimate Surfer is to educate people on the sport of surfing and build stars.
Well, Slay, I just learned something new today. So congratulations, Slater, for that. Definitely. I did not know that you was the most decorated athlete. I have to do my research a little bit more and why some of that surface shit. I'll tell you.
Yeah, Kelly Slater's almost 50 years old and the guy's still kicking the shit out of 20-year-olds.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a master at his craft. When you're a master at your craft, you stay on top of it. You do what you got to do.
He's a freak athlete too.
Absolutely. So bringing it. We're going to wrap it up in a second, but bringing it all back to kind of why we're here, which is what's in your glass. Like, I have a few quick fire questions for you to close us out. And I and the people have to know, like, what's in your glass on some special occasion. So it doesn't have to be a label specifically, but what's your go-to when you're on, let's say, family vacation?
Family vacations. Depends on where we are, but I do like tequila. You know, I don't know if you've tried it yet, but The Rock has a new tequila out called Terramana.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Legit.
Yes.
Legit, really good tequila. So I'll hit some Terramana.
I like that. So if you're out to a nice restaurant.
Out to a nice restaurant, I'll do some white wine.
Okay. Okay. You're celebrating, let me see, you're celebrating the WME IMG deal.
we go hardcore. We go into the whiskey or get some vodka.
Okay. So what whiskey?
This is it. This is what I drink. Hollerhead.
Okay.
This is out there. It's available everywhere. I drink that. And if they don't have it where I'm going, I bring it.
Listen, you sound like me. If they don't have what I have, I'm bringing my own shit. I'll tell you that. Hey, man.
Exactly.
Dana, I just want to say thank you so much, man. We're going to wrap it, man, for joining me for a glass. And best of luck with everything you have going on right now.
Keep kicking ass, man. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I'm a major, major fan of just you and the way that you built your business and the vision that you had. You stuck with it when nobody else saw your vision, man. And to be where you at today, I have to give you a cheers to that and say thank you for allowing us to be a part of your atmosphere when it comes to this UFC shit, because it's major. And
thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you to the audience, man, for tuning in this week. And, you know, please follow, rate, review What's in Your Glass on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whoever you're listening to your podcast. You can also check out the video releases each week on YouTube. Again, Dana, my brother, it's all love. I support you. I appreciate you. You'll see me at a UFC fight soon.
I can't wait. Just say when.
Absolutely. Thank you, my brother.